Yes, there's a show tonight. Oh, my goodness, there's no business like show business, and we are on air. Thank God for that. Oh, my goodness, it would have been all right, but it would have disappointed me tonight not to be able to talk to you. Who's talking to you? The Boss RJ. We are back from the blackout, from the black hole. Power to the people. Yeah, me and Don, we were having a conversation, and we was like, oh, my goodness, no show tonight. Okay, I'm going to go sit down. It's my anniversary show. I was willing to give it up. I was, in fact, talking to my friend, saying, I'm just going to go over to my desk, and I'm just going to do my show the way I was going to do my show, open it up the way I was going to open it up, and just do it for posterity. But then Don called me back and said, give me five. We're back on. We are live, and this is BBSRadio.com. Yes, 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 and I am the Boss, RJ, and this is Mission Possible Radio Hour. Yes, we're going to get into it tonight. I am feeling awful frosty. You know what I'm saying? It's been a year. Can you believe that? Folks, first of all, I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And the fathers are the mothers, and the mothers are the fathers, and the children are the fathers, and the fathers are the children. And, you know, hey, it just is one big humanity. So I hope everybody out there had just a wonderful day with their significant other or their blood father or whatever. Because, you know, in America, everything is so topsy-turvy. I don't want to leave anybody out. But I hope that you had somebody, a role model that you could look to. Yeah, I had a role model. My father was Dangerous George Williams, the only father a person needs. Oh, my goodness, he's the one with what you know, the understanding. We, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little. We now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And that is exactly what we're going to have left. Yeah, we don't hurry up and wake up. That's what it's all about, folks, waking up. That's what this show is all about. It's taking the current news, giving you a little tip about how it's going to go. You know, like a lot of people, I don't have to tell them, and those who listen to the show regularly, they already know where the boss is coming from. The boss is coming from the fact that, you know, we've gone so far. We've become so clever that we don't have anything left for the future. It's all going. We can't keep it. This is something that we all need to understand. There's another way to be, another way to live. There's another kind of way to be civilized. Well, you know, this being my anniversary, I started June 17th of last year, and now here it is, June 16th, getting ready to be June 17th tomorrow, and that is the anniversary of your truly favorite holiday, Watergate, because that was the day that, one more time, up close and personal, for those of you who may have no faith, don't believe in anything, know that our government is capable of doing the unthinkable, and that's exactly where they are today, doing the unthinkable, things that we would never think to do, they're doing, and now, with this here race, they want to put us all to sleep and in a mental condition to say, forget the past and think about the present. Right now, it's everything. You know, to me, that's kind of like a little bit of a fascist thought. Hey, look, don't look to the past. Don't think about your future. We got it all right now. We need your vote. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of a realist about everything. You know, I look at it all and I go, wait a minute, this looks too darn familiar. Haven't we learned anything? One of my main concerns, and I thought tonight before I got into the Watergate, because each time, this is medicine for me, folks, you know. And before we get off into that, I wanna do a little housekeeping, you know, and then I'm gonna talk about one of my main heroes in life and why I am the way I am, which is Dangerous George Williams. Because he's the man who gave me the opportunity to be able to speak like this. A lot of people say, Boss, man, I listen to your show. I can't believe that you can talk like that, that you can just keep on going. You just seem like you're coming off the top. And I said, I'm not coming off the top. I really want you to understand that. This is where people kind of find it hard to believe. But I actually prepare these shows. I'm actually prepared through prayer. I'm actually working every hour of the day on what it is I'm getting ready to say to you next. Uh-huh. You know, it's important, just like today. If I were not here, how many of you who are listening now would be realizing that it's been, you know, this day when our government broke in because they was looking for something. And when you look at it all and you see it all going down around George Bush's birthday, you know, and then you look at all of the research that we are doing, and it takes you back to the Nazis and takes you back to specific commandos in the Nazis, and all of a sudden you got compatriots on the same radio station doing kind of research that you're doing, and all of a sudden you get excited. And then you have these people in your life, and they begin to encourage you, and you encourage them and begin to get the story. And that's what's so wonderful about it all, because then we can put this whole thing together, and even though they want to sell us another lie, we can tell the difference. It's kind of like knowing whether you use cheer or tide. I don't use neither, but that's all right. I'm just trying to get you to understand it's all brand name truth. And you got to look for the real deal, because y'all usually pick up the good book, know that there's a lot of people coming with a whole lot of phony story, and they're going to be telling it to you, and it's just not going to wash, because those of you who have been policing yourselves understand this. You know, it's important for everybody to understand just how thin the line really is between ruin, catastrophe, and success, and vitality, and thriving. Each day, you know, as we go through this life, everybody's going to have to be tested, you know. And even here at BBSRadio.com, people have been tested. We all woke up, all of us hosts, and all of the people out there. We all prayed and prayed. I hope you prayed, because we need to pray. And I guess the prayers were answered, because I'm on the air, you see. And there's been a fire and power outages and not knowing. So I know that there's a higher calling. And I wanna let everybody know that in just about 2 minutes, we're going to get into it with the one of the owners of the radio station. He's going to give us an update on what's going on over there and how it is and how he's doing and if he need anything or whatever. And I'm going to bring on, because, you know, he was on my show. Don was on our show, my first show. As a matter of fact, I have Dr. Len Horowitz. I'm kind of horribly in not reminding Dr. Len, but he's always so busy. I don't know. He might be listening in for this show. He might have remembered. But if he didn't, I'd just say, hey, Len, you'll hear it on the archives. And Don is one of my other guests. And back then we was kicking it and had a good time. And now he's out of the black and into the light. And he's with us. I could hear that little chuckle. Don, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Roxy. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Wow. You hear his voice, folks? Everything is okay. Listen,
we're back.
I woke up. And I heard, I mean, my friend told me, you got an email, said BBS is off the air. We went looking for, you know, the fires and everything that first time. Hadn't even posted anything where I could see it. And then all of a sudden the next day we saw some of the, fill us in. Fill my listeners and all the listeners out there into what's been happening and how it all happened. Tell me a story.
You got it. Well, it has been quite an interesting week. Thursday, of course, I think somebody out in Chico, we believe that it was a fellow like myself, a smoker possibly, that was out in the camp grounds, and it's been hot all around the area, so some either a smoker or a campfire didn't do the right thing, and it caught, last I heard, tens of thousands of acres on fire. And so a lot of the town of Paradise, surrounding areas in Chico, started to light up. And they had about 1,400 workers trying to put it all out. But then there was fires throughout the area in Sacramento and Corning and in various other areas throughout the entire Butte County and other counties. So California's had its day, I guess, a lot like the flooding that's going on in the Midwest. We've had our fires. And it's still with us. There's still areas that are still being worked on. A lot of power has been out. The power's been out in our city for quite some time, and it went out again today around 3 p.m. They didn't anticipate it to be back on till 1 a.m., from what I understood. But then you called and said, oh, this is my anniversary issue. And I was thinking, oh, what a horrible thing to miss. And then as soon as I thought that, about 60 seconds later, the power went on.
Wow.
So you're a mystic. You're a mystic.
Yes, ask and ye shall receive, huh? Hey, Don, give me some observations. Here it is. I mean, is this the first time you've ever had to evacuate?
Well, not really. It is the first. Hard to say. Last time when I moved here, we moved here a little over 2 years ago. About a couple of weeks after I moved here, there was a massive fire again. And it was within an eye shot of my place. I could, right across the backside of my property, the whole canyon was lit up on fire. You could literally walk right into the fire. That's how close it was to my place. And they were telling everybody to evacuate, and everybody did except for me. Maybe a few others. I just said, no way. I just got here not long ago, haven't unpacked, don't know what I'm doing. I'm sticking around. And so I did, and nothing happened, and I wish I'd have stuck around this last time. But they had the police coming by, and all the, you know, the various law enforcement agencies constantly driving up and down, forcing us to leave this time. So we had to leave. And we went to a hotel with the family, had our pregnant dog, got him to the hotel. It took us 6 hours to drive about an hour's distance. And when we got into Corning, because there was no hotels anywhere, they were burning. I mean, there was fires all going over there. So I was thinking, wow, this is incredible. It was a whole separate fire. But I guess we were safe in the hotel because nobody seemed to be really frantic in that area, so we stayed at the hotel. We were just about to go to bed, and then our dog gave birth to 7 puppies in the hotel. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I got to tell you, I mean, having 7 puppies in a hotel, I mean, everybody knows the mass puppy that a dog makes when it's giving birth.
Yes.
Well, it was no less here. So it was really fun.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they told us we couldn't come back, and the following day they said, no, you can't come back. Your area is still quarantined. And here was the message. And our road's a small road. There's maybe nine places on this road. And they said, well, if you're halfway in the middle of the road, which we are exactly, then you can't go back. And the left half can and the right half can't, or north, east and west half, whatever. And I said to my wife, that's absolutely insane. You've got to be kidding me. We're leaving. So we picked up and we got here and drove right in and everything was fine. So it makes me leery about, because they're over precautious often, these, and rightfully so, thankfully so, but We've had an interesting time, yeah. So we have now 7 new puppies to celebrate our fire. We're thinking of naming them Tinder, you know, Bernie.
Blaze.
Yeah.
That's so incredible. Well, it's been an incredible moment for you in terms of the station, what's been going on. I mean, there it was, you the fire, this whole thing. Had you given any thought to what you were going to do if it should have consumed your house?
Oh, I was hoping it would. I have enough insurance to cover everything. I mean, I'm loaded with insurance. And look, I don't buy medical insurance, dental insurance, or insurances of any kind except for the minimum on a vehicle and the home because the bank owns it and they require it. But I figured, you know, considering the area, there's only really a few escape routes out of here. I maximized insurance, especially after that first fire. And so it wouldn't have bothered me in the slightest had the whole thing went up in smoke, but we weren't so lucky. You know, I couldn't care either way. Nature's going to do what it does, and I would have been happy any which way. I don't like things around me. I'm like my brother in that respect, although I have a family and I happen to carry a lot greater burden with more and more of that physical form around me. It's unfortunate, but you know, you get to that stage where you got to be the pack rat.
Yeah.
But I can do without it. I live without it, and I can do without it. So yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. But we're going to take some safety precautions for the future. This week we're going to buy a big generator, and if the power goes out again, which is likely considering our We're coming into an interesting solar cycle. And, you know, I think we have nefarious idiots playing around with HAARP, and they're using this to further their own agenda of global depopulation and genocide. And these pedophile maniac perverts, you know, I mean, they're whacked out nutballs. You know, if they have the toys, they're going to use them, and we've already seen their use in various earthquake activity in China, in Japan, and here in the States. And you can monitor these low-frequency waves. You know that they're unusual, they're not natural, so they're playing with their toys, they're screwing up the weather patterns, and that doesn't help matters as the world's changing. So there you have it.
All right, I got the big question. I know I can get a response from you. Tell me, have you got a favorite in this here election coming up?
I did. I had Ron Paul. I would have loved Ron Paul, but they shut him out, and they shut him out of the conventions. They wouldn't let him speak. He's been very candid about that in his interviews and videos. That they've played hard, dirty, rotten, stinking ball with him. And even the people that were working with him, I mean, everybody saw this. They have lots of evidence of it. But that's the way they played it, and they figure they can pull it all over the people and do whatever they bloody well please. And that's about what they're doing. So he's out because he stepped down. He knows he... And I feel that he's been threatened in a big way, and I'm certain that's true, because even the Trilateral Commission, they were speaking about that they have a lot of fear of this guy, and rightfully so, because he wants to kick out the banking establishment, which many countries have been trying to do for years, because once they get their grips in you, you're doomed. And these sickos want to control the global economy through their financial system, and they'll do anything, including genocide and murder on an extreme degree to do it. All the wars are based on it, and it gets them off. I mean, they like suffering. They've got the money, but they want it all. And, you know, when you're the kind of person people that like to create suffering, you don't have compassion, you're not really human. And that's what we're dealing with. We're you know, this... And Ron wants to get rid of these, you know, financial controllers, manipulators, the criminal class, as I like to call them. And so they've been playing hardball with them. Who do we have left? Well, we have a woman that likes to stick condoms on a Christmas tree in the White House and play around with lies, backstabbing, and murder. We have, and we've seen that. And then we have, of course, McCain, who, oh my, I don't even want to go there because the whole internet's talking about what an idiot scoundrel that man is. So, that would just be belaboring the point. Now, Obama, he's the best of the worst. How's that? I mean, a lot of people like him, but I think he's had a few good speeches written for him. I don't see him saying... You know, I'm here in the election. It has been a fraudulent election. It has been a scam. But I'm here, and I'm going to do the best I can with it. I haven't had a man with character, a man with integrity, is going to stand up, and he's going to call the shots as they are, and Obama avoids them. That I see. He avoids the real issues. He avoids the meat of the issues. And that bothers me. Now, will he make a good president? Well, I don't know. I mean, look at the money behind him. The money behind him says that he's part of this group that wants a global agenda. Now, it may not be as uncompassionate, but it's still the same financiers that want a global agenda that are creating such a genocidal pattern. And so, birds of a feather flock together. Now, I don't know what that means. Is he doing it because he needs to play with the sharks in order to get into power so he can then make change possible? We've never seen a president yet, ever, that has the strength to do that. Because it's not the president that really has the power. He's the lapdog. And it's been that way for many, many decades. I don't see that changing. And with the kind of people backing him and in his camp and what he seems, and his avoiding some of the greater issues of the truth movement, which is so, so important today, that does worry me. Would I vote for him if I were a U.S. citizen? No, I can't witness to a fraudulent election because it goes into the history books and on it goes. I can't witness to something that's false because that is not in my character. I would have to bring it down to the ground, bring it down to ground zero and have a good look at it first. And in this case, that doesn't seem to be occurring. So would I vote? No, no. I can't stand witness to a false system where the election gives you the monkeys and then you got to choose between them.
Yeah, it's very observant. You know, my sentiments are down that same alley, that same rat hole in this year of the rat. This character that has come from Chicago is too much Chicago for me. You heard Boss probably talk about that there's too many Chicago connections, and that takes you to the university. When that takes you to the university, it takes you to Rockefellers and all the money behind this man. I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, he's this, he's that. And all I'm saying is you need to look at the money that's behind him, because basically when you look at the Republicans this year, it's the same as it was back in 1972 when they were running. They were told that Nixon was the man, that there'd be no discussion of not even the vice presidency, and we got that Spiro Agnew, that nobody knew. Governor from Virginia. At the time, at the same time that we had, these deals going down with the Greeks and over in Europe and all of that. So it's gotten so incredible that when you see a man like Obama come along, you start to wonder, is he a lot like Condoleezza Rice, who will sit up and tell you that I'm more than the American community. I'm part of the international community. And my biggest fear is that this young man with ambition and with a calling and with a mission and he's believing in the very thing that all of our parents told us, any one of us could be president of the United States. Fortunately, a lot of us didn't believe our parents.
Not anybody. Only the anybodies that they want. You got to remember.
That's what I'm saying. But our parents didn't know that. You see, they told us.
Exactly.
Exactly. And see, he hung around. He didn't hang around with his parents. He hung around with his grandparents. And so he was fed a whole nother pablum as he was coming up, which makes him a bit of an oddball out there. You see, and America likes oddballs.
They do.
They like oddballs. And so, for me, it's like I'm kind of like you. I've got to stand back, and I'm thankful I'm a reverend because I can say, well, I'm not of this kingdom. I have to look at it. But y'all have my deepest sympathy because I truly believe that without the insight that he needs to be able to see through these people that have live their lives through our lives in this country, doing these terrible things. I mean, you look at it and you see all this bad paper out here, and yet everybody's like, ha, 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 let's talk about tomorrow, let's talk about the dollar. And you see all these banks writing down. I mean, I wish we could write down our bad ideas and failures.
Sure.
I wish I had a federal government that could print up the money or have a reserve that they can go into and at one point decide we're going to be a creditor's nation, and at another point we're a debtor's nation, you know.
I agree.
I'll preach it to that choir again, ain't I?
No, people need to hear it, because really it comes down, see, what we all seem to understand, hopefully, is that it's the money that gets these guys off, these power mongers off, because that's their tool. That's their prime tool. And they use it in ways to create a situation like Iraq, like Iran. Really, it's all about the banking systems. And when countries trying to gain their independence from these banking systems, this banking control monopoly, then they are lied about, they are abused in the media worldwide, and then they're attacked. And this has been going on in many of the South American countries. It's been going on in many of the easternmost countries. It just seems to be that they want to establish a global regime through the financial system. And until we can get rid of that financial system, kick them the hell out of this country, and then any one of them that comes in this country, hang them, we won't get it. Because we should be hanging, I mean, honestly, we should be hanging these murderous bastards, and we should be pulling them out of their high offices, their high moral offices. We'll take the moral high ground. And we should be hanging them, because they don't deserve to be a part of this physical reality.
And we know why. Our Congress doesn't have the...
They don't have anything.
They don't
they're
have
all
the guts
bought and
to
paid
do it
for.
Because they're part of the problem.
That's why I started blogging service way back when, because the whole... When they did a sting operation, finding out, I think it was like 42 or 48, I forget the number, were bought and paid for. And then I saw this huge... I was stunned, because the next day it was wiped off the map. There was no more information on it. And I said, no way. Now, because I knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Once they were bought and paid for, everything made sense from there on. Bush getting in, taking over, and them literally acquiescing to anything and everything the money mongers wanted. And that means nothing. Nothing for the people here in the citizenry of this country. They don't give a damn.
That's your true about that. And part of the reason why we are in this position today is because we were taught to hate communism and love fascism and corporatism and brand names and all of these things.
Yeah,
and,
brand name. I love
that. Huh?
How true.
You know, and that's why you started this radio station. This here blog service, as you say, this wonderful thing called the net, because they've had their chance, and they manipulate the people, and the people have to come free, and maybe somebody on your station will hear a truth and be able to get that truth to the right person.
Oh, they're doing it.
Nick of time.
They're doing it now.
And possibly even with Ron Paul, they might be able to cut him out, but hopefully maybe there'll be a wide open convention. But the only thing I can see, just like back in 72, is that if the Republicans were to stand up and do that, they would blame it on agent provocateurs, and they would then say it wasn't really the Republicans, and they would use that very same thing that they used in 72 against the Democrats, that it's somebody else, because so many people registered Republicans.
Sure, it's all about pointing fingers, laying blame, and
we don't even know who the
truth.
Party is anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like, especially now, because you know, with Ron Paul out of it, it makes you wonder. You know, all of those people, and it could work for the Democratic Party, I would imagine, in some way. All of those disaffected Democrats that weren't happy with Hillary or Obama. We're looking at Ron Paul, too, the Libertarians, the Green Party, all of these people were behind him. It's almost impossible to think that this man didn't have a good enough showing to be included in a third, you know.
Well, it goes to show
you. To go to the
you.
Convention to duke it out with McCain.
Yeah, well, it goes to show you that, look, any regime works if the people behind it are good. And all regimes will fail if the people behind it are bad. Dictatorships are fine if the guy's benevolent. Communism.
Yeah, got gold in the bank.
Even communism will work if it's a fair, absolute, equal distribution, and then based upon potential. But and capitalism too, and democracy, and I mean, it's really to me, I don't care. Even a global world order to me would work if it were manned by people that had compassion and heart. Now, and if it's not, it really, at that point, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like the legal system, like the rule of law. I mean, who's making the laws and the rules? And if the people are, remember, it's all about the people, the rest is dust. It's only the people that matter, the rest is nothing. It'll disappear. So what we've got is a temporary illusion based on the people. And right now, those people stink. And they're creating a sick fantasy. A sick fantasy. And we're all a big part of that game.
Yeah, I know. The dollar's telling a big old lie. It's rising as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
It's rising. I think it's because of all those stimulus checks. What'd you do with your what'd you do with your stimulus check, Don? You know, I mean, I wish we had a way in which we could poll the BBS radio audience and ask them what they did with their stimulus check. You know,
poll. Yeah. There's such a big joke there. I mean, what a fiasco. I don't know. Maybe these people are mad because they got to be insane.
Well, you know, I think it's a lot like what our friend Don Nicolau has been saying for a long time, you know, because he be chasing them Nazis just like me. He be chasing the Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
He go all the way back to the Russian Revolution and work his way up just like the boss. I truly believe that he is right. And I believe
I do too.
We have been infiltrated, that this happened a long time ago, and that the illusion that we are looking at in terms of it all, even with Hollywood and all of it as they all work for themselves.
Hollywood!
Yeah, they mirror it. They show it to us. It's like Clockwork Orange in some really incredible way. We're all forced to see this non-reality, and then we're asked to vote on, you know, on it. And then, after we had the non-reality, now we have this guy coming that's going to change it all. And I'm like, whoa, this is one to sit back and watch happen to a lot. I'm sorry, I have to get into it too, you know what I mean? But I'm out here in the middle of an ocean. You know, I'm really trying to see how they're going to shake it, you know. Can you stop the avocados from growing? Can you keep the lilacoids from dropping? Can you keep the mangoes off the trees? Will you do this? Will you defoliate my entire world in order to make me a part of your madness? You see?
Yeah.
For me, the humanity is in, it's not about whether or not somebody was smoking or you smoke, you know, in terms, switching gears here in terms of it all. In the humanity of nature, when you live in a world that appreciates nature, one could never leave a fire untended. No one could ever drop a careless cigarette because they'd be on guard.
That's right.
And
exactly.
For those people who understand, I'm on guard, not on guard, on God. And so what we have now is this tying us in to those that don't have a brain, and them that do, and them that left theirs at home. And we can see how one person's carelessness affects an entire universe, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even down to a fire hits, you have to evacuate, and all the people with BBS radio that have shows and hosts, it all goes, the truth gets kind of held up for a second, and we have, you know. And so I'm looking to the world to say, hey, let's see our connectedness. Let's be more aware.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to go through this again, because we're setting up now to have two more stations this year. One of them will be another remote station, so that if this station goes down, the next remote station will go up. We've
Make
all
sure it's not in Iowa.
And we're going to have generators starting next week. We're going to have we're going to be opening up a new remote station in August 1st. And we also, hopefully, throughout the course of this, in fact, next week, I assume, we're going to be on the new servers, the brand, they're dual quad core Cloverton 5410s with 15K SATAs. For those of you out there that know that, I mean, it's going to be fully loaded. More internal memory, many processors. It's going to be a lightning speed, and we're also going to have a redundant server. We're going to keep it just in case the website goes down. So we're now setting up to meet the conditions of this changing world, because the people that are looking to scoop it out from under us are nuts, and we have to be prepared for them. So we're going to do exactly that. Unfortunately, this time we got caught with our pants down. It wasn't an ugly sight, but, maybe.
Well, like you said, it allows you to prepare. It allows you to, sometimes we get lulled into a false sense of security that everything is just going to be okay because we're so blessed.
Exactly.
And then along comes the test, and out of that you have to learn things. So God bless you, Don, for doing that.
Thank you.
I'm going to take you off the air now
and
get back to my diatribe. I'm going to educate you a little bit more about this Watergate thing and how it connects even today
to what we're dealing with
these candidates, I hope.
Thank you. I loved being on your show. Thank you for inviting me. Blessings to your audience.
Thank you, Don. You've just been listening to BBSRadio.com. We just had the guest Don Newsome, owner of the radio station, of the fabulous duo. There's Doug, there's Don, and his family, and they're okay, folks. They're all right, and they are wiser for the experience. And so each time you hear from Don, it's always more and more and more. And that's what's so incredible is that we're all out here working hard, and he works even harder than all of us to keep us on the air. So bravo to you. Happy Father's Day, Don, and I hope that everything goes well for you and you can find that generator tomorrow. Better get up early in the morning. Yeah, this is Mission Possible Radio. We've just been talking, and I'm going to get back to it because I don't know. I've got some more time left. I was going to be talking to you about Watergate, and I'm going to get to that because this is the anniversary, and I never want anybody to forget it. I believe that the very man who is in the White House today, George Bush Jr., his father had a lot to do with Watergate. He was the chairman of the Republican National conference or committee, and raised a lot of money. The shenanigans that were going on is just up that CIA alley, and with all that was going down, one can see it. How we can connect him to it is through Richard Nixon, but it took us so long, those tapes that everybody knows about that studies the Washington crime. I call it a crime. And I call it a crime even more because it was one of those kind of things where everybody wanted to look away in the same, in terms of the election year in 1972. Here was a chance for the Democrats to unseat this maniac, and for some reason, they didn't go after the Republicans. Now, I wonder why that would be. Now, when I look at Watergate, I have to go back a little bit to 1971, and I look at, the Pentagon Papers, that's right. Type that into your search engine. And when you do that, you start to see exactly how this government works, and this is why Watergate happened. This Pentagon Papers had to do with a study that McNamara was done in 1967 that called, had two people lose their lives over this particular report over time because the monies that were going into Vietnam were starting to be suspected to be just thrown into the bad, and that our situation in Vietnam was not as whole and as well as Westmoreland would have liked it to be. He was even asking for more troops while other people were thinking about maybe we need to get the heck out of there just like the French. And so what McNamara did, unbeknownst to Dean Rusk, or, and it's coming off the top of my head because I remember it just like it is yesterday, without Dean Rusk, you know, and without President Johnson at that time, he ordered the study. This is what comes out. Now, he does the study, they go over, they do the whole thing, and what they come up with is, hey, this is not working. You see, we're either going to have to pump way more people into this, or we're going to have to put money in, but we think that maybe we should get the heck out, and we should maybe work out an armistice or a deal, or come up with kind of situation where we can get out of here. And at that particular moment, they put together within this report all the memos, all the cables, all the letters, all the meetings, commission meetings, and all that had been discussed about Indochina, about Vietnam, about the situation there for the past 20 years. So now we're talking about going all the way back to one of my favorite years, which is 1947, and this is the year when they reorganized the executive, and we got that dastardly, hopefully the president that comes. One, I think, is going to use it. The other one's going to try and get rid of him. That's when they're going to get rid of him. But the NSC, and it is here that we see that the intelligence moved, and they created with that, they created the Central Intelligence at the same time. These two organizations were given the responsibility of giving data and intelligence to the president. That's all they were supposed to do. This is not a constitutional thing. This is another one of those elastic considerations of the Constitution. It says, well, through custom and tradition, we've always had an intelligence, but now we're going to centralize it. See, we won't have no more army. And for the first time, we had a civilians in charge. Now, but these civilians were not really civilians, because all of these people that were in charge were former OSS or FBI and this and that, and they all worked for the government. Now, when all those people work for the government and then are allowed to run an independent agency, and based upon the track record of these pioneering, profiteering individuals, we came up with a little bit of a mess back in 1947, and you can bounce back and forth, back and forth. This is the exciting part, folks. Is that when you bump up to 1967 and you see McNamara, who you have to remember was in the Kennedy administration but had been a long-time Republican, just like McCone. Now, when you put all these people together and you see all of this, the party affiliations start to lose their meaning. And that's exactly what is happening today. Party affiliation is losing meaning to the people at the top. The man at the top is funding both sides, both parties, and has been doing so. It is a tradition. This is truth. Now, you got all of this going for you, and all of this sets a precedent for what we're dealing with today. And I am sure that all of you, when you look back 10 years from now to the election of 2008, you're going to see a lot of similarities in terms of the dirty tricks. They're already started. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was starting to like Obama. And I was saying, I was kind of cooling on him in terms of saying, you know, I said, okay, you know, my father said, you can't respect a man, respect the position he holds. He's a senator, even though he got there through some real finagling. They had to find a black man from Virginia to move to Illinois, just lived there long enough to be able to run against him so that he could get in. Now, that's blessed. That don't mean, I mean, that's affirmative action at its finest as far as I'm concerned. And I never really believed in affirmative action. I truly believe in God. And so God allows me and opens all the doors that I walk through. And one of the doors I never wanted to walk through was the Oval Office. Back in 1992, when I thought I might become a part of the party and all of that, I actually entertained it until they started pushing Clinton so hard. I was like, huh? Why is the Democratic Party pushing Clinton? We got so many other Democrats out here that is so less dirty. Why don't we run one of them? And they didn't want to hear no talk like that. Kind of like, they liked me. They thought I was very articulate for a black person. Once I started talking about Clinton in Arkansas, they was not liking me. Threw me out of the headquarters. Called the police on the boss. Oh, my goodness. Police came, and I continued to demonstrate. Walked over to the police, said, hey, look. They done throw me out the Democratic Party because I'm talking about Clinton and I ain't too sure about him. Since I'm going to be here 20 more minutes and then I'm going to leave. But I'm going to have me my demonstration right here on this sidewalk out in front of the Democratic headquarters there in San Francisco. And this is a true story. At the very same time, this here black woman was out here protesting. Obama, he's organizing. You see, this is how he got where he is. He had the calling, and he worked it, people. He worked it. There's no time for dealing with the truth when you working it. Now, for those people that think that once he get in, he going to be able to do some good, he going to do some good, all right. He going to do some real good. He going to do some real good backpedaling. No, only kidding. He going to do some real good, and that good going to not set well with a lot of people. And that's when we're going to see the whole thing start to get all shaky and everything. Now, that don't mean that we shouldn't go on ahead and elect the man. You know what I mean? I was going to say, you know, if I had to have it, I think it'd be way more fun to watch Obama bring us down than it is for McCain to bring us down. We all expect the Republican Party to bring us down. We don't expect, you know, we got so much hope. We don't expect the Democratic Party to bring us down, but with Pelosi and Feinstein and Boxer and all these other, you know, what I say, ignorant Democrats out here that don't think that we don't know who their husbands are and that we don't know who they where they bank and why it's an inconvenient time not to impeach the president or yada, 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 you know. All of you just need to quit. You just need to quit because history going to indict you. You were there, you see. All of those people. And the only reason they want to get into power is so that they can hurry up and destroy the records so that you can't find them. Hurry up so that they can make it harder for us researchers out there to get the information, because they don't want us to have the information. They told us we don't want you to have the information. So don't ask. That's what they're saying. And if you ask, you better have the credentials to ask, and we're just not going to give it to everybody. So there. So what are you going to do? They hold the information. That's the key. These are the kind of things you wonder that the president's going to do. Is he going to let us look at the books? Is he going to tell us what's really going on? Is he going to tell us, you know what, I don't think that you guys should, you know, with that Nixon Act back there when we bailed out the banking and stuff. Is he going to tell us that, oh, you know, all that stuff that Clinton and Bush put in and all the money that's been missing and everything, oh, you guys don't have to pay for it. I done worked it out with China. You know all that money that we owe them? Oh, they told us they'd forgive us because we forgive them their indemnity back in, but see, what we talk about now, China can't even begin to forgive this debt. Can't even begin to forgive it. It's just too large. The world can't begin to forgive it. So the world going to start doing business without us. This is the serious part of it, and we'll be the last ones to be known. And it's very easy to do business without us. It's already starting to happen. When you try and go across the sea and plunk down one of them good old dollar bills and see how many people jump on it, man, they'll start laughing at you. They're into euros now. That's their hero. It's the euro, you know. And we out, you know. We have to take the loss. Take the loss off the top. Take the loss off in the future. This is the economics. This is what our so-called president's father went to Yale, you know, for. Now, if you listen to Don Nikolov, he ain't who he say he is. And that's true, because I don't think he behaves like anybody we really wanted. He snuck in. This is the truth. All of this goes back to Watergate, because all of these people were there. Every last one of them that you're looking at today was back then in 1974, young men just doing it, got their degrees and counselors to the president, aide to the president, now defense secretaries and vice presidents and all kinds of things. And don't be fooled, California, by that schism in the governor's office about that there Arnold Schwarzenegger and his wife Maria Shriver. Do your homework and find out who her father is, how the Kennedys and all go, and why she would even be married to an Austrian Nazi who, you know, I mean, does Heil Hitler in his underwear and his skivvies, you know, way back when. When you look at all of this, when you look at it all, you'll see that this is the signs. As a preacher, I'm telling you, I know, I don't open up the Bible enough to know these are the times. They've come around again. They've come around so many times that if you don't know the story, you haven't been watching. These are the times. And now, with the whole change, let's just say that they bring the boys home. Let's just say that they stop the war in Iraq and they bring everybody home. What next? You see, America, what next? Well, what next comes? Somebody got to pay for the war. Well, you know who's going to pay for it. And what usually happens after war? You get lots and lots of debt. And who gets to pay those debts? And if we don't raise taxes, if we don't come up with this money, if we don't squeeze all the people, you see, we lose our land. Ah. Yeah, I told you last week, and I'll tell you again because I want you to remind yourselves of this. 1% of this population called America owns its own home outright. What does that make us? It makes us a dispossessed nation. Yeah, I was saying that to somebody, and they said, ain't that the truth? He said, man, I was one of the 1%, but then I got a divorce, and I had to give up my... I had to give that up, because I had to settle, you see. There's a lot of good reasons why, you know, the things in the Bible that you're liable to read are truths that if you incorporate them in your life, you will find that you have less of a problem. One of them is that when you find somebody you love and you say, I do, try to make that I do last for a long time. I mean a long time, like forever. You see what I'm saying? Because then you don't have to worry. But see, we didn't listen. We didn't follow. We didn't take the guidance. See, now what we got? divorce and separation and all kinds of weird happenings that have to do with pain and separation. You see, this is it. Now, I, on this evening, have been talking about Watergate. Why? Because the machinations of the upper higher office is still going on. There's investigations going on right now. But because of the convenience of this election, they don't want to talk about it. How is that? You see? How is that? And there's no mechanism for the people to say, wait a minute, we shouldn't go any further. There was no mechanism back then when they shot Kennedy for the people to stand up and say, wait a minute, no, we're not going any further. We're not voting for no more people till we find out who killed this man. And how come y'all acting kind of silly? It's kind of like 2001. It's kind of like we all should have stood up and said, hey, wait a minute. Ain't nobody moving nothing. Ain't not one stick of nothing until we find out who did this. Wait a minute. Where you going? We can stand another day. Where you moving so fast? See, every time they move fast like that, and that's what I'm talking about, every time they take care, even with the Watergate, man, people were going down in planes, people were being shot, people were coming up missing, all kinds of things were happening. Go back to the Kennedy, everybody's missing. Keep missing, 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 because this is how they work. You see. You know, at this point, I'm kind of to the point where I don't even know how much time I have left. What is it? It's 7:26 right now. That's for nothing for anybody out there that's living in New York City or in the Midwest or anything. If you're up, pardon me here, I'm going to switch gears. I'm trying to find out how much time I have left. If someone will come on and tell me how many minutes? Oh, I got 4 minutes left until I've been doing an hour, I've been told. So I think it's time for me to wind up because I only want to do an hour. I just want you to know that way back when we had a lying president, and it seems like today we have a lying president, and I'm just trying to clear the slate. Wouldn't we all like to just clear the slate, whether it be the Republican or the Democrat candidate? Let's clear the slate. Let's talk about it all. Let's duke it out now. Let's find out how y'all behave, and then we can then probably, with everybody knowing everything, you know, I think it's time for us to just fly the door wide open and let's look at it all. Let's look at every last nasty bit of it and then come to some decisions. This is the kind of momentum. This is the kind of motion. This is the kind of movement that we should be looking for in these candidates. Don't they want to know? You see, are you so sure that you're so right that we should move on without looking? Because if we do, if they can do it to them, if they can make us move on without us looking at this stuff, if they are able to do this, then they're going to do it to us. And that, to me, is not right. You see what I'm saying? There's a force out here that would like us to just move on. Don't pay any attention to any of that bad stuff that happened. It's never going to happen again. That's the kind of stuff that Hitler said. Oh, don't pay any attention to me. I'm invading Poland, you know. Don't pay no attention. Oh, I'm still your friend. Don't worry. I'll never do that to you. And boom, there you go. Off to the ovens you go. So what I want to say to you all out there, this is the real world, folks, and we really need for you to pay attention. That's why I have my show Mission Possible Radio Hour. That's why I'm on the air in the Inside Hour with your Dr. Lynn. This is why I talk, because I don't want us to forget, and I want us to see the connections as to right now, how connected, and how never before do we have an opportunity to get these guys. Let's get them while they're still in office. So call Nancy Pelosi and tell her, now's the time. Now's the time, girl. Go on ahead and stand with Dennis Kucinich and go ahead and throw that wrench into the monkey fire. But, you know, I know she won't, you know, because she's part of the problem, too. Anybody that would say it's not time. Where's the spirit, folks? Where's the spirit? Okay? So, with that, I'm going to wish y'all out there, I hope y'all had a wonderful Father's Day, and that I'm looking forward to y'all enjoying. and coming back in the summer. And this is going to be one heck of a summer. This is the summer of 2008. When we look back at 68, 40 years ago, we can say to ourselves, my goodness, there must be an eternal reoccurrence out here. We must have deja vu, because we have all been here before. We have all been here before. Good night, everybody.